Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Quiet Your Mind and Get to Sleep. Solutions to insomnia for those with depression, anxiety, or chronic pain. By Colleen E. Carney, Ph.D., and Rachel Manber, Ph.D. Forward by Richard R. Bootson, Ph.D. Narrated by Colleen Marlowe. Publisher's Note. This audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit Tantor.com and type Quiet Your Mind and Get to Sleep into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page. Then, under the Supplemental Content section, please enter the access code RESTLESS and then click the Unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All figures and tables referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Limit of liability, disclaimer of warranty. Care has been taken to confirm the accuracy of the information presented and to describe generally accepted practices. However, the authors, editors, and publisher are not responsible for errors or omissions or for any consequences from application of the information in this book, and make no warranty, express or implied, with respect to the contents of the publication. The authors, editors, and publisher have exerted every effort to ensure that any drug selection and dosage set forth in this text are in accordance with current recommendations and practice at the time of publication. However, in view of ongoing research, changes in government regulations, and the constant flow of information relating to drug therapy and drug reactions, the reader is urged to check the package insert for each drug for any change in indications and dosage, and for added warnings and precautions. This is particularly important when the recommended agent is a new or infrequently employed drug. Some drugs and medical devices presented in this publication may have Food and Drug Administration, FDA, clearance for limited use in restricted research settings. It is the responsibility of the healthcare provider to ascertain the FDA status of each drug or device planned for use in their clinical practice. Forward. I heard a voice cry, "Sleep no more." Macbeth does murder sleep. The innocent sleep. Sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care. The death of each day's life. Sore labor's bath. Balm of hurt minds. Great nature's second course. Chief nourisher in life's feast. Shakespeare. Macbeth. The importance of sleep has been recognized for centuries. Sleep was understood by Shakespeare to heal emotional and cognitive distress, knits up the raveled sleeve of care, balm of hurt minds, as well as physical aches and pains, sore labor's bath. Today's researchers have confirmed the central role that sleep plays in almost every aspect of human life, including regulating emotion, reducing stress, worry, and irritability, consolidating memories, improving cognitive performance, reducing pain, strengthening the immune system, and reducing daytime fatigue and sleepiness. In today's 24-hour, 7-day-a-week world, sleep disturbance is a common problem. For many people, this leads to chronic insomnia. Because of the central role that sleep has in emotional, cognitive, and physical functioning, problems in these other areas may develop or be made worse when sleep is disturbed. The authors of this workbook, Drs. Colleen Carney and Rachel Manber, are experienced sleep clinicians who are among the world's leading researchers examining the treatment of insomnia in people who have additional emotional, cognitive, or physical problems. This workbook is unique among books available in providing the knowledge and skills to treat insomnia in ways that promise to produce the full range of benefits to those with depression or pain or other problems along with insomnia. Is there evidence that treating sleep will improve other problems such as depression or pain? The answer is a resounding yes, and Drs. Carney and Manber have published the watershed studies that have provided that evidence. Their book is a comprehensive, integrative approach to cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. One of its best features is the many self-assessments to guide the listener in applying the treatment recommendations. This reflects an active learning perspective that will help the listener truly master the skills and strategies. It is ironic that society's increasing recognition of the importance of sleep may make the treatment of insomnia more difficult. As is made clear in the workbook, people with sleep disturbances often have unrealistic expectations about sleep and the exaggerated concerns about the effects of even a single night of poor sleep. A central aspect of the workbook is to teach skills to help identify expectations that are not realistic and to help substitute alternative statements and actions. Those with insomnia put pressure on themselves to sleep better. As the workbook chapters point out, this can often lead to behaviors that make better sleep less likely. Instead, we need to recognize that sleep is indeed important, as Shakespeare recognized, but that sleep cannot be forced to occur. The solution is to engage knowledge and skills that allow for sleep. The authors have struck just the right balance between the importance of sleep and the methods for improving sleep in this outstanding workbook. Richard R. Boutsen, Ph.D., Professor and Director, Insomnia Program, Departments of Psychology and Psychiatry, University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. Introduction. Modern society often dictates long hours, packed schedules, and less time to sleep and to unwind. To stay ahead in their work lives, North Americans don't take as many vacations as they used to, which is unfortunate. Because in a fast-paced and busy life, taking time to unwind and recharge your battery is more important than ever. So it's understandable that insomnia is the number one health problem in Western societies. Sleep requires disengaging from the bustling environment around us, and stress interferes with this process. Stress can come in many forms, possibly arising in the context of a major life event, such as taking a new job, becoming a parent, or ending a relationship. It's no surprise that these stressful situations are often associated with difficulty sleeping. In addition, the experience of disturbed sleep is itself a source of stress that tends to further prolong the problem. That is, when you have difficulty sleeping, you begin to worry about being able to sleep at night and being able to function the next day, and that worry makes it more difficult to sleep. When sleep difficulties persist and lead to daytime problems such as irritability, depressed mood, difficulty concentrating, or fatigue, the sleep problem often calls for a medical diagnosis of insomnia. More often than not, insomnia occurs along with other health problems, most commonly depression, anxiety, and chronic pain conditions. Each of these three problems can cause you considerable personal suffering, not to mention the cost of medications and visits to the doctor's office. The suffering and societal costs are even higher when you have insomnia along with depression, anxiety, or chronic pain, a kind of insomnia called comorbid insomnia. Yet until recently, doctors usually didn't treat comorbid insomnia, because they assumed that it was merely a symptom of the other health problem and would go away when the other problem was treated. However, untreated comorbid insomnia often doesn't get better, even after the other condition is adequately treated, and untreated insomnia can make the other condition worse or interfere with this treatment. For example, when treated for their coexisting depression, people with insomnia don't improve as much as those without sleep difficulties. For reasons like this, the National Institutes of Health, NIH, the leading health research funding agency in the United States, recently released a statement that urges doctors to treat the insomnia that occurs along with other conditions. In that vein, this book describes an effective insomnia treatment called Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, CBT. Some listeners might be familiar with CBT for other mental disorders, such as depression, anxiety disorders, and eating disorders. They all share common principles, but use some problem-specific techniques. CBT for insomnia has been tested in many studies, and the results show that CBT is an effective treatment, just as effective as taking sleep medications. Most important, when people are followed for a period after the end of treatment, the sleep improvements seen at the end of treatment last longest in those treated with CBT. We highlight this information because it's very relevant to the insomnia that occurs in the context of another medical or mental condition, which is our focus. In people who have both insomnia and depression, whether your treatment involves antidepressant medication or psychotherapy, insomnia remains a significant issue for about half of those who recover from depression. Having insomnia increases your risk of developing depression in the future. Taking these facts together, we can conclude that an insomnia treatment with longer-lasting effects will also have a more favorable effect on depression. The approach we describe in this book provides practical advice in enough detail to allow you to apply it to your situation. Because we have written this CBT self-help workbook for people who have insomnia along with another condition, we provide specific suggestions for issues related to experiencing insomnia along with another health problem. Let's continue with our example of insomnia occurring with depression. Some of the CBT recommendations aren't easy to follow and might seem particularly difficult to those who also have depression. For instance, CBT recommends that people get out of bed shortly after waking up in the morning. This recommendation is challenging for many people with depression because they often find it difficult to get started in the morning. Therefore, we give specific suggestions on how to overcome this challenge. We also discuss tools to manage the high levels of anxiety that are common to many people with depression, anxiety, and pain. We also provide methods for dealing with common daytime consequences of poor sleep, such as low energy, trouble concentrating, and irritable mood. Again, this is very important in the context of depression, because low energy, poor concentration, and irritability are also symptoms of depression. Our approach also emphasizes the importance of the mind in insomnia and offers many practical suggestions for dealing with an overactive mind or anxiety-provoking thoughts. People with insomnia often complain of having a noisy mind at night, particularly those who are more anxious than average or describe themselves as perfectionists. We recognize that each person is unique and faces different challenges when being treated for insomnia, and we hope you'll find that this approach fits your particular set of challenges. Quiet Your Mind and Get to Sleep provides strategies to overcome the insomnia that occurs with other conditions. Each chapter focuses on providing sleep-related information, self-tests, and simple worksheets to help you enact changes in thoughts or behaviors known to perpetuate insomnia. Copies of these worksheets can be found in the accompanying bonus material. Each treatment recommendation is made in the context of understanding what's going on in the accompanying disorder. As such, This book is for anyone who has ever struggled with insomnia and for those who love them. You may be wondering whether you can use this book if you're taking medication, and the short answer is yes. This approach is effective even when you're taking medication for sleep, pain, anxiety, or depression. You may have read that some antidepressant medications cause insomnia as a side effect. This may happen with certain antidepressant medications, but it's not very common. You may wonder whether you should discontinue antidepressant medications just in case they're causing the insomnia. If insomnia emerges as a side effect of an antidepressant medication and it doesn't go away in a few weeks, your prescribing physician will likely offer an alternative antidepressant medication because people react differently to these medications. Don't stop taking prescribed medications without first consulting with the physician who prescribed them. Stopping medications abruptly and without guidance can be very uncomfortable and sometimes dangerous. Stopping sleep medications can result in rebound insomnia, which is caused by stopping the medication and doesn't necessarily reflect your underlying sleep patterns. If you stop taking prescribed medication for depression or anxiety, this condition could worsen, making it difficult for you to follow the sleep treatment we offer. Besides, even if you believe that a medication has a negative impact on your sleep quality, it's unlikely that your insomnia would resolve the moment you stopped taking it. You can discuss with your physician any concerns you might have about your medications. If you have pain, anxiety, or depression, continue to get treatment for these conditions. In all likelihood, it will be easier for you to follow the instructions for the insomnia treatment described in this book when your pain, depression, or anxiety is under control. Our approach doesn't require that you stop whatever therapy you're currently receiving. In fact, we hope that if you have a coexisting condition, you're getting treatment and your treatment provider is available to assist you with using the strategies in this book. We believe that the best approach to treating insomnia in the context of another condition is to treat both conditions. Making health-related changes can be quite demanding, and how you decide to make such changes is a personal choice. While we've written the sleep strategies so that you can use them on your own, you may wish to enlist the help of a sleep specialist in your area. By providing information about sleep and helpful exercises, this book will offer you an opportunity to take control of your insomnia. We hope you'll discover that making small changes in the way you approach sleep will give you the sleep you dream about. Chapter 1. The Scope of the Insomnia Problem. Retired CEO Gary came to the sleep clinic because he was having trouble falling asleep. He would toss and turn for an hour or two before finally being able to fall asleep, a problem that began when he was in college. He'd tried a variety of different sleeping pills over the years, but continued to have trouble sleeping. In recent years, he'd taken to drinking a martini every evening to help him unwind. He usually began feeling sleepy by around 11 p.m., which was when he headed upstairs to bed. However, as soon as he got into bed, he felt wide awake. He tossed and turned, and after a while thought, "Ugh, it's happening again. How long can this go on?" After enduring almost an hour of frustration about being unable to fall asleep, he would take a sleeping pill or drink more alcohol, and finally fall asleep between 12:30 and 1 a.m. Once asleep, he felt fine, but would wake up and get out of bed between 7 and 8 a.m., feeling as if his head were clogged up. This had gone on several times a week for much of his adult life. Having had anxiety problems for as long as he could remember, Gary believed that his insomnia and anxiety were linked. He recalled that the insomnia first began in college when he experienced anxiety about taking examinations. As we talked about his anxiety, he realized that he became worried in a variety of situations. He also worried that his insomnia would make him susceptible to a serious illness. A senior in college, Frank began waking up in the middle of the night last winter and would then be awake for hours. At first, this wasn't much of a problem because he could take an afternoon nap and feel better for the rest of the day. Lately, he found that despite feeling very tired, he couldn't sleep when he lay down for a nap. He started feeling down and was no longer excited about things he used to enjoy, such as jogging, playing frisbee, and doing his schoolwork. Feeling bad about himself, he withdrew from his friends and began skipping classes. Sometimes he slept in and showed up late to classes. He even had to ask for extensions for some of his coursework. He went to see a doctor at the student health clinic and was prescribed antidepressant medication. When the doctor asked him if he had ever been depressed before, Frank realized that he probably had been depressed in high school, too. The antidepressant medication helped his mood significantly, but his insomnia continued. He became quite concerned that unless he started sleeping better, the depression would return. He believed that getting his sleep pattern back on track was the key to graduating. A school teacher, Barbara had experienced problems falling asleep and waking up multiple times in the middle of the night. She was diagnosed with fibromyalgia several years ago and still suffered with it. Her pain and fatigue fluctuated in severity, but even when these symptoms were under control, she continued to have problems sleeping. She tended to take over an hour to fall asleep and wake up 2 hours later with difficulty returning to sleep. After a few bad nights, her pain would increase. She became very frustrated because each of the sleeping medications that initially had been effective stopped working. In an attempt to get more sleep, she started going to bed earlier than usual and resting in the morning hours, but nothing seemed to help. The three people in these case scenarios had something in common. They all experienced insomnia along with another health-related condition. Gary suffered from anxiety. Frank had a history of depression, and Barbara struggled with chronic pain. This chapter will provide you with a description of insomnia, as well as the disorders that commonly co-occur with insomnia, including depression, anxiety, and chronic pain. We'll outline the common symptoms of these disorders and discuss how insomnia impacts these conditions when they coexist with insomnia. What is insomnia? What problems in the people you just learned about, whose names have been changed to protect their privacy, characterize them as having insomnia? We all experience sleep disruption from time to time, but when should we seek treatment? Usually, a person seeks treatment when the problem becomes persistent and has a significant impact on daytime functioning, which is how doctors distinguish between having difficulty sleeping and having an actual insomnia disorder diagnosis. Generally, insomnia is disturbed sleep that's persistent, lasts more than a month, and causes other problems too. Other problems can include fatigue, mental cloudiness, or mood problems, and it could mean that the sleep problem causes distress or interferes with usual activities. An example of a sleep problem interfering with activities is if you cancel appointments or call in sick for work because of poor sleep on the previous night. Other problems also include worsening of the symptoms of another condition, such as pain, anxiety, or depression. For example, Barbara, who has fibromyalgia, noticed that her pain tended to worsen after several nights of poor sleep. More formally, doctors and other health providers diagnose insomnia, depression, and anxiety disorders based on a standardized diagnostic manual published by the American Psychiatric Association, APA. This manual, called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM, was written based on input from experts in the mental health field from around the world. This panel of experts examined published research and conducted new studies. Based on this information, the panel established diagnostic criteria for many disorders, including insomnia, mood, and anxiety disorders. The fourth edition of the DSM has a set of criteria for different types of insomnia disorders, including situations in which the insomnia meets one of the following conditions. Insomnia is the primary clinical complaint. Primary insomnia. Insomnia occurs exclusively during a medical illness. Insomnia related to a medical disorder. Insomnia occurs exclusively with a mental health condition. Insomnia related to a mental disorder. To be diagnosed with any type of insomnia disorder, both the nighttime and daytime criteria need to be met for at least 1 month. The nighttime criterion is the presence of difficulty falling or staying asleep, or feeling unrested in the morning. The daytime criterion is the presence of distress or concern about sleep, or other consequences of poor sleep. As noted previously, some of the consequences of poor sleep include fatigue, irritated, anxious or depressed mood, achiness, difficulty concentrating, and finding it hard to do things at work, home, or school. Other sleep disorders, such as sleep apnea, which we'll describe in Chapter 2, can have similar symptoms to insomnia, such as disturbed sleep, fatigue, and low energy. Therefore, another criterion for the diagnosis of insomnia is that the symptoms are not better accounted for by another sleep disorder. In other words, it must be insomnia rather than another sleep disorder that's producing the symptoms. If you're unsure whether or not you have another sleep disorder, please pay close attention to the section, "Could you have another sleep disorder?" in the next chapter. Insomnia is more common than you think. When an insomnia disorder is present for 6 months or more, it's called chronic insomnia. Most people who go to a sleep specialist to treat their insomnia have suffered symptoms for at least 6 months. Chronic insomnia is a problem for approximately 1 in 10 adults, which is a staggering number. Even more staggering is that the rate of sleep disorders doubles in those over 65 years old. Because almost all stress-related conditions involve disturbed sleep, it's not surprising that the insomnia that occurs with another disorder is the most common type of insomnia among people with sleep problems. In fact, the number of sleep problems that occur with another condition is twice as high as the number of sleep problems that occur in the absence of another condition. Insomnia can cause considerable personal suffering, as well as more frequent visits to the doctor and missed work days. Whereas the costs and suffering associated with disorders such as depression, anxiety, and pain are substantial, they're particularly noteworthy among those who have insomnia. As discussed in the introduction, in the past it was assumed that when insomnia occurred with another medical or psychiatric disorder, the insomnia was simply a symptom of the other disorder. The assumption was that the insomnia would get better when the medical or psychiatric condition was adequately treated. We now know that this is not always true. Insomnia often doesn't get better when the accompanying condition is treated. More often, the insomnia merits separate attention and focused treatment. While it's true that depression, anxiety, and pain can, in some cases, cause sleep difficulties, with time the sleep difficulties can worsen and take on a life of their own. In other words, over time, the sleep difficulties develop into an insomnia disorder. Often, the insomnia persists even after the condition that originally caused it improves, which was the case for Frank. His depression resolved with antidepressant medication, but his sleep problem remained. How do you know if you have depression or anxiety? Having chronic pain is self-evident and probably needs no additional definition. Most people aren't surprised to learn that they have chronic pain. They simply feel it and are aware that it's an issue. When you have pain, you can easily track how it changes over time. In contrast, depression and anxiety disorders are sometimes more subtle. You may have a depressive or anxiety disorder without being aware of it. Or perhaps you know you have the disorder.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?